Morning, Packer fans. This is Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. Today is Friday, October 15th, and we are getting ready for a Green Bay Packers game against the Miami Dolphins this Sunday at Lambeau Field at noon Central Time. Lambeau time. Lots to talk about today on the show. A lot of injuries to get through, as usual, as seems to be the norm with the Packers, this season at least. Lots of unfortunate news. No guest today. It's just you and me, folks, so please, by all means, share your thoughts on the live blog. Please use Twitter. Use the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, and your comments will get through. Or just use the Twitter widget under the broadcast. We are following along with today's Packers Daily Links on Cheesehead TV. There's a link on top of the live blog. Feel free to click that and follow along. If you do, it'll take you to a little page that looks like this. And today's top story is about rookie defensive lineman Mike Neal being added to the injury report. If you click the link, it'll take you to an article by Jason Wilde, ESPN Wisconsin. If I could just read a paragraph Mr. Wilde wrote. Quote, rookie defensive end Mike Neal, who missed the season's first three games with a rib injury, was added to the injury report with a shoulder injury that he initially suffered against Washington last Sunday. In line to start in place of injured defensive end Ryan Pickett, ankle, now Neal's availability is in doubt after he sat out practice Thursday after struggling through Wednesday's workout. So, unfortunate news about our friend Mike Neal. I like to think he's my friend, maybe. But it is somewhat disappointing. The severity of his injury is a little unknown as of yet. Apparently what happened, as Willie wrote, is he got injured during the Washington game. Mike McCarthy said in his press conference, didn't really say anything. Maybe he didn't think it was too serious, or maybe he just wanted to tough it out. He's already missed a lot of time with his rib injury. Didn't want to say anything. Didn't want to appear that he is injury prone. So that's the issue with Mike Neal. Wants to tough it out, but really can't. Had this injury, this shoulder injury, crop up on him, and now we don't really know where he's at. It could just be a thing where they sat him out yesterday for a precaution, could very well practice today, or you never know, he might be out this week. Right tackle Mark Tauscher has a shoulder injury as well, sidelining him for a couple weeks. So, you don't really know how serious it is. Could be nothing. Could be a couple weeks. We should know more today by the time Mike McCarthy's press conference rolls around. Sometime this afternoon, I think is Friday press conferences are somewhere around 12:30 p.m. Central Time, if I'm correct. I could be wrong. Might even know before that. Practice injuries start rolling in from the beat reporters who are there in person. We'll find out if Neal practiced or not, perhaps. But yes, it would be disappointing to the Packers if Neal couldn't play this Sunday, especially with Ryan Pickett looking like he's probably not going to play. I don't think Ryan Pickett has been ruled out yet, but chances aren't good. We'll just say that. So Ryan Pickett is in line to start at defensive end in the base defense for the Packers, although they really don't play a whole ton of base. But even so, even if they are in the nickel or, you know, whatever sub package they're in, Neal would stand to get a lot of playing time just in a rotation basis with B.J. Raji and Cullen Jenkins, who figure to get a majority of the snaps along the defensive line. I believe I saw even Cullen Jenkins has a hamstring issue, doesn't seem to be serious at all, and won't hamper his ability to play on Sunday. But I think I saw that in PackerReport.com. Just a little thing to keep in the back of your mind. So the Packers, with depth issues, if Neal can't go, and that's if, we know nothing, we'll know later today, but if he can't, you're looking at perhaps the most playing time of C.J. Wilson's young career. C.J. Wilson is on the depth chart ahead of Jarius Winn right now. C.J. Wilson has played sparingly on defense. He did get a couple snaps against the Buffalo Bills when, you know, the Packers won handily, and he got some snaps near the end of the game. C.J. Wilson has played in the goal line hippo package when they employ four defensive linemen. And I think C.J. Wilson played in one series in base defense this past week at Washington. So he hasn't played a whole lot. And he stands to get perhaps his most playing time yet. Even if Mike Neal could play on Sunday, C.J. Wilson might play more just because of the fact that Ryan Pickett is out. And you're probably looking at Jarius Winn being active this week. I believe Winn has been inactive the past two games. I think so, against Washington and against Detroit, just because the Packers have had enough depth on the defensive line. But you're looking at Winn possibly being active this week and maybe playing a role, perhaps not as big as a Mike Neal, if he can play, or a C.J. Wilson, but Winn could play nonetheless. Some comments on the live blog. Uganator says, not good that we are maybe missing Neal against a run-heavy team like Miami. Correct. You know, Miami, known for running the ball with Ronnie Brown, with Ricky Williams. That might be changing a little bit in Miami. Chad Henne is really starting to play well for them. So that's good for the Dolphins. But, yes, whether the Dolphins are a running team or a passing team or not, Mike Neal would certainly help regardless. He's been okay in the pass game as well on pass defense in terms of getting a little push up the middle. Maybe not as much as we'd like to see out of him yet, but certainly not bad at all. And the Packers could use his services. Done real well. Perhaps his best play so far is that forced fumble that Ryan Pickett actually recovered. I believe that was in the Detroit game. But yes, the Packers could use the services of Mike Neal, and maybe without. So we'll keep an eye on that. Should know more later today, like I said. In other Packers news, going back to today's Packers Daily Links, the second story is about quarterback Aaron Rodgers. Practiced for the first time on Thursday. If you click this link right here, it'll take you to an article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by Tom Silverstein. He has to say this about Aaron Rodgers. Quote, on Thursday, Rodgers was on the practice field taking snaps with the number one offense, running the show like he normally does. He has been cleared to play Sunday, barring any setbacks prior to the game against the Miami Dolphins at Lambeau Field. So it looks like Aaron Rodgers will be fine. He played, he practiced yesterday. Met with the media for the first time since his concussion as well. Appears to have been cleared by this independent specialist he has to see. I believe the official word from the Packers is that he was limited in practice yesterday, although he did take most of the snaps. I suppose just in case there's a setback, the Packers want to be able to go to Matt Flynn, have him be ready just in case something happens with Aaron Rodgers. So Matt Flynn got somewhat of a workout yesterday with the number one offense, taking some snaps, getting some work. Aaron Rodgers not participating fully. But all the signs are pointing towards Aaron Rodgers starting Sunday. And that's one player they just really can't live without. You could in the short term, a game or two with Matt Flynn. But certainly not a long time. Same with Clay Matthews on defense. Which looks like, you know, my money is on Clay Matthews not playing this weekend, just erring on the side of caution and resting him. And again, the Packers could get away with a game, maybe two in his absence, but any longer than that, an extended time, and they'd be in trouble. Fortunately for the Packers, it doesn't look like that's the case. Looks like they'll be all right. In terms of both Clay Matthews and Aaron Rodgers not being out a long time. The biggest indicator that the Packers will have Aaron Rodgers this Sunday against Miami is that they haven't done anything with Graham Harrell. Quarterback Graham Harrell on the practice squad right now has not taken any snaps, at least as of yesterday, with the first string offense, just in case, running the Packers offense in case he's needed, or B, you know, brought up to the 53-man roster, which would have to be done if he were to play or be active. Currently on the practice squad, of course, and they'd also have to clear a spot for him. Speaking of clearing spots, seems like the Packers are fine with Nick Barnett and JerMichael Finley sitting out. The surgeries are done. I would think they have enough information by now to make a decision whether or not they would put them on injured reserve. I would think they have enough information. I don't know. That's just a guess on my part. But, you know, just based on the fact they haven't made any moves already, haven't placed anybody on injured reserve, at least in terms of Finley or Barnett, they might keep him. They might keep him and just wait it out. The Andy Man says on our live blog, having Clay out there puts a lot more pressure on Dom to draw up some sneakiness. Dom Capers, well known for coming up with creative blitz packages or putting pressure on the quarterback, no matter if they're blitzing or not. When they're in the cycle package, everything looks like a blitz, but I guess it's not. They're just a lot of guys bouncing around in two-point stances, and you're not really knowing who's going to rush and who might draw back into coverage. But yeah, having Clay Matthews certainly frees some things up for some other people. And that's only going to continue. The more he becomes known as a premier pass rusher in the NFL, we'll say. So, lots of injury issues. One more to get to here. If we go back to today's Packers Daily Links, third article down, this is about linebacker Brandon Chiller. If you click the link, it'll take you to an article by Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press Gazette, who also writes about Mike Neal in addition to Brandon Chiller. But there was more bad news yesterday at practice. Pete Doherty says, quote, Chiller, who plays extensively in the Packers' nickel package when healthy, missed the last two games because of his shoulder injury. He returned to practice Wednesday, but then was too sore to practice Thursday, which is a discouraging sign for his Sunday availability. The backstory being, Brandon Chiller practiced on a trial basis the first day of practice this week, which was Wednesday. Didn't come out well for him. He sat out on Thursday, totally. And while things could get better, right now it's not looking good for Mr. Chiller. I would say it would be quite a stretch that they held him out on Thursday and he'll be back today on Friday. You know, if they held him out, my guess is Brandon Chiller will be out for the rest of the week and on Sunday as well, and probably put his recovery on hold until next week. With the injury to Brandon Chiller, that puts a lot of stress on your linebackers like A.J. Hawk and Desmond Bishop. Getting back to the live blog and some comments rolling in here. John Rahor says, it's a risky proposition to keep Barnett Finley on the roster to rehab for weeks, hoping they're healthy for the playoffs. And the Andy Man piggybacks on top of that, saying, agreed, I'm not sure I like treating them differently than Grant. Of course, Ryan Grant, placed on injured reserve after the week one of the NFL season. It was possible Grant could come back by the end of the year, but the Packers knowingly placed him on injured reserve anyway, thinking they're going to need his roster spot in the meantime rather than wait for him. And now they're faced with doing the same thing with JerMichael Finley and Nick Barnett. Like I just said, it looks like they're willing to wait this out based upon they haven't placed him on injured reserve and found some replacements already for them in the meantime. Now that has to be weighed against, are these guys going to be helping you down the road? As everybody knows by now, JerMichael Finley especially is one of the better tight ends in the NFL. Pretty special, a game breaker type of player, a playmaker, and very well could help this team in the last few weeks of the regular season as they possibly make a playoff push, try to get seeded higher in the playoffs. Or, if he doesn't come back in time for the regular season in the playoffs and help them win some postseason games. So I'm sure the Packers are thinking about that, knowing they could really use his services. John Rahor asks, remember Grant told Homer he could be back in December. What makes him different than Finley? I guess what makes JerMichael Finley different from Ryan Grant is more talent. Certainly Ryan Grant is good, but I guess if you were just to compare JerMichael Finley and Ryan Grant and say, where is Ryan Grant in the hierarchy of NFL running backs? And ask yourself the same question, where is JerMichael Finley in the hierarchy of NFL tight ends? You're going to have JerMichael Finley probably in your top five tight ends. Whereas Ryan Grant, you'd be lucky to get him in the top 10 running backs. He's probably somewhere right around there, hovering around 10, and I would say most people would perhaps rank him lower. So that's the difference. Is that difference negligible? That's the $20 question, I guess. And maybe you guys can chime in with that on the live blog. Or give me a call. I'll throw the number up on the screen here. Our number today, area code 646-797-2909. What do you think about the Packers placing Barnett or Finley on injured reserve? Or, you know, replacing them? Whoever you replace with whoever is going to be certainly not as good. I mean, you're looking at practice squad players in return. And maybe the Packers are just waiting another week until Al Harris comes off the pup, Atari Bigby, James Starks. Maybe they're just waiting a week with these guys until they have to make roster moves in just days from now. Of course, again, this is just hypothetical. There's nothing saying that the Packers have to add Al Harris and Atari Bigby next week. They get 3 weeks to decide. They get 3 weeks to practice first. And they may need those 3 weeks. We don't really know what their status is. So, there's that to consider as well. And just one thing last, before our break here at 8:30 I want to get to, is the possibility of a disabled list in the NFL. A lot of people are frustrated with no middle ground for players like this, like JerMichael Finley and Nick Barnett and Ryan Grant. There's no disabled list in the NFL like now, like there is in Major League Baseball, who has the 15-day DL and I believe the 60-day DL. Of course, there's a lot more games in Major League Baseball. But still, I mean, if Ryan Grant injured in week one, I mean, wouldn't it be nice to place him on a disabled list with, you know, whoever they replaced him with? I forget at the time who took his spot. Dimitri Nance, I guess. And now in December, if need be, that you cut Dimitri Nance then and bring Ryan Grant back. Or, I mean, whoever. I mean, right now with Finley and Barnett. Put them on the disabled list. You know, bring up some practice squad guy. And when December rolls around and they're ready to come back, then you cut your practice squad guys. I mean, it would be unfortunate that you had to cut a Dimitri Nance or a Robert Francois. But I think, you know, that's, you know, what you have to do. JerMichael Finley is going to have a bigger impact on the playoffs than Robert Francois. And there's nothing to saying you couldn't put Robert Francois back on the practice squad if you really like him. Or Dimitri Nance, or whoever. I think that's coming. When the NFL negotiates a new collective bargaining agreement this offseason, I think it will include a disabled list, especially if you're going to a 18-game regular season. Gonna take a break, folks. It's 8:30. I'll be back in a little bit. When I come back, we're gonna be talking about possible trades with the trading deadline coming, and also a former Packer on the open market. In the meantime, can somebody do me a favor and find the exact trading deadline in the NFL? Can somebody post that on the live blog for me so we can know exactly when it is? I don't know off the top of my head. I know it's soon. It's like after this week or the next week, something like that. So can somebody do that? Post it in the live blog, and we'll get to it when we come back from break. Welcome back to Railbird Central here on Cheesehead TV. To those of you who are watching this show live and not the podcasted version, I think we're on somewhere between like a 30-second and a 45-second delay. If you ever see me just kind of sitting here, that's the reason. It's very hard to sync up what you're seeing and what I'm doing. So there may be pauses at times that are really kind of hard to avoid. And I apologize for that, just so you know what's causing that. Anyhow, getting to the trade deadline. Thank you very much. I see a couple people posting it. John Rahor, Packer fan John, thank you. October 19th. 4 days from now is the NFL's trading deadline. And I don't expect this to be like baseball in that there will be a lot of trades in the NFL. But there may be a couple near the deadline. And we have one suggestion here. A. Biederman says, Adam Schefter says the Pack should trade a fourth for Marion Barber. My thoughts are the Dallas Cowboys are not going to trade Marion Barber. Let me get to more of that in a second. On today's Packers Daily Links, Andy Hayes of Packer Geeks has been beating the drum for a trade for a running back for a while. Since the off season. Seems like every week he's suggesting a trade. And I understand where it's coming from. There's guys out there who are, you know, third string on a depth chart and are pretty talented, and the Packers have a need. If you click on the link to this article, it takes you to an article by Packer Geeks and Andy Hayes. And he suggests Houston Texans running back Steve Slayton. And if I could just read Mr. Hayes' reasoning here for a second. He says, quote, if other offensive coaches are to be believed, Slayton still has it. And just an interruption here. He's talking about offensive coaches for the Texans. He is a great league with regards to catching the ball out of the backfield. And the bonus is that he could be a great return guy as well. At this point, considering they got him for a third-round pick and considering Texans coach Gary Kubiak doesn't like him. So, there's that out there. Texans running back Steve Slayton. And I'd like to believe that actually is a remote possibility. And I see people are providing some links here. Aaron Nagler on Twitter provides a link to the Marion Barber story by Adam Schefter. Five trades that should but won't be made. I just don't see the Cowboys parting with Marion Barber. But if you go back to today's Packers Daily Links, one trade that I could see as more likely would be for Cowboys running back Tashard Choice, their third string running back. He hasn't really gotten a whole lot of work with the Cowboys. Certainly seems to be a talented guy, still young. Much like a situation with Marshawn Lynch. Third string, not getting a ton of playing time. Seeing as you have a lot of depth at the position, why not trade him, get something in return? And you still have two guys ahead of you that can tote the rock. In the Cowboys' case, Marion Barber and Felix Jones. Adam Schefter seems to think that they could part with Marion Barber. I don't think the Cowboys will. I think they stick with him. He is their starting running back. And I think they do have a little more trust in him than Tashard Choice. That's why I think Tashard Choice could be an option. That begs the question, which John Rahor just posted on our live blog, would Dallas trade to a conference rival like the Packers, though? And that, too, is the $20 question of the day. The Cowboys do have to play the Packers coming up this season, and would they trade to the Packers then a guy who could help them? And I really don't know the answer. I don't think they want to, but I think the reward maybe outweighs the risk for the Cowboys. Do you want to get something in return or not? You know, it's either trade now or wait till the off season, which is a long time away. And you never know what can happen between now and the off season in terms of a season ending injury. A. Biederman asks, wouldn't you think the Cowboys would love to get rid of Barber's contract? Yeah, I see that part of it. Kind of the same thing that people think with D'Angelo Hall in Carolina. Both starting running backs, both big contracts, you know, may end up leaving eventually anyway. So, we'll see. I don't think that D'Angelo Hall... Am I saying D'Angelo Williams? I'm sorry. What, you know, the Carolina Panthers running back. I don't see him being traded to the Packers. I don't think the Panthers part with him. I do see possibly Tashard Choice being a likely option. Maybe. The person who suggested the Tashard Choice trade to begin with was Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press Gazette. About a week ago. Maybe a little more. But he said that remains a possibility. Pete Doherty, fairly well connected, the sources in the NFL. I also kind of agree with Andy Hayes of Packer Geeks in that Steve Slayton could be an option as well. I don't think it's likely to happen that any of these will happen. But if it's going to be anyone, I see the possibilities as Steve Slayton and Tashard Choice. I personally don't see this Marion Barber thing happening, but that's just me. People can disagree with me if they want. Comments on the live blog. If Dallas loses this week, I could see that trade being a possibility. Until then, Cowboys are in the playoff hunt. And very true. Cowboys have a big game with Minnesota this week. The loser of that game is putting themselves in a really tough position as far as making the playoffs. Cowboys especially, not looking good this year so far. A win would really go a long way. But if they lose, they really could be inclined to unload a running back, no matter who it is, Tashard Choice or Marion Barber. I think Felix Jones is definitely not going anywhere. He's the one guy they'll stick with no matter what. So, just wanted to throw some of those options out there. Again, if anybody wants to call in to the show, I'll throw up the number again. Area code 646-797-2909. Feel free, share your thoughts on the live blog, give me your trade scenarios, your possibilities, whether or not you think it's likely to happen, and let me know. We'll talk about it. Directing Titan comments, even if Dallas is interested, who's to say Ted Thompson is? And that's true. I would think Ted Thompson would listen, that's for sure. I mean, all those guys with the Cowboys, those running backs, they're good. I think you have to listen. I don't know Dallas's asking price, if there even is one. But yes, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, that's for sure. Looks like JerMichael Finley's up this morning. Says, good morning, world. I'm feeling good. JerMichael doesn't have a whole lot to do these days besides rehab. He seems to have a whole lot more time to tweet and create videos lately. Not that that's a bad thing. Just as long as he's getting his rehab in, I suppose. Not going to help the Packers on the field anytime soon, even if he does come back later this season. Another issue I'd like to talk about. Today's Packers Daily Links, there's an article about tight end Spencer Havener. If you click the link about Havener, it'll take you over to Total Packers, where author Monty McMahon lists Spencer Havener as a possibility for rejoining the Packers. He writes, quote, Havener could provide valuable depth for the Packers who are battling injuries at tight end, where JerMichael Finley is out for an extended period with a torn meniscus, and Donnelly is battling a chest injury. He could also provide depth at inside linebacker, where Nick Barnett is out an extended period with a wrist injury, and Brandon Schiller will likely miss his third consecutive game with a shoulder injury. So Spencer Havener on the market. I've said it, I've wrote it before. I don't think the Packers will be interested in Spencer Havener unless they suffer another more serious injury to the tight end core. Obviously, we've talked about it. JerMichael Finley's out for 8 to 10 weeks if he's not placed on injured reserve. Donald Lee, I know, is injured, but he's kind of been like the good news of the week in that he actually practiced yesterday, and there's a possibility he could play this weekend even. That's really good news for Donald Lee. So they seem to be in better shape there than they thought. And, of course, Tom Crabtree and Andrew Corliss are fine. And those guys will be playing on Sunday. So, I mean, even if Donald Lee does not come back this Sunday, I don't think the Packers have a need for Spencer Havener. Because Donald Lee's going to be coming back by next week for sure, or 2 weeks at the latest. I mean, they could very well cut him. But, I mean, you kept Donald Lee to begin with coming out of training camp. I think they value what Donald Lee brings to the team more than Spencer Havener. And that's what I think the Packers think. I'm not saying I agree with that. At this point, I'm willing to think that Spencer Havener is more valuable than Donald Lee. And you could almost replace those two in cutting Lee and adding Havener and see no drop-off. I think Havener's the better receiving threat. I think Lee is the better blocker of the two. But you don't need a great blocker at tight end from Havener because you have Tom Crabtree. If you need a blocking tight end, you just insert Tom Crabtree and you're fine. So you get the better receiver in Spencer Havener, and you get the far, far better special teams player in Spencer Havener. far better than Don Lee, I think. The only downside is that Havner is injured right now and would have to wait to get healthy anyway. I don't know the extent of his injury. I don't think it's season ending or anything like that. But there's that to deal with. But I'm not running the Green Bay Packers. I think they value what Donald Lee brings. And I'm not exactly sure why. They haven't really utilized him this season all that much. When they have, he ended up having a fumble here against Washington. I mean, it was nice to see him bounce back and get the touchdown. And then he goes out injured. So, I mean, if the Packers, though, suffer another injury at tight end, should Donald Lee go down again, or Corliss, or Crabtree, by all means, I think Spencer Avener would be, you know, a better candidate than any other tight end on the street on a practice squad. Sure. I'm just saying, in the mind of Ted Thompson, it's probably not going to happen unless there's another injury. Packer fan John says, over under 5 catches for Corliss this weekend. I'm going with the under just because for a couple reasons. I think the Packers are going to try to utilize the receiving core more as they said they would. Number two, I think Packer fans are going to be disappointed at Corliss at some point this season. There's going to be a big time disappointment with him at some point, as there are with most rookies, as they go through a steep learning curve. There's going to be a game where Andrew Corliss is going to drop 2 passes, or he's going to have 2 penalties, or who knows what. He'll drop a pass in the end zone, you know, something big. Just because that's what rookies do, that's what all rookies do. 99% of them. And I'm not saying that's going to happen this week. Andrew Corliss played very good in the receiving game last week against Washington. Andrew Corliss had a very underrated game. Blocking has a way to go, but as far as receiving, he did everything JerMichael Finley could do last week, almost. I won't go that far that he could do everything, but boy, he looked good last week in the receiving game, Andrew Corliss. I would have to go the under just because he's a rookie, but would it surprise me if Andrew Corliss has 5 or more catches? No, not really. Some more comments on trades here. John Rahor says, is it possible that the big move we're all waiting for will happen after the Miami game, just in time for the Vikings? If a move is going to be made, it has to be made by Tuesday, so I don't know if there will be one, but there's not a whole lot of more time people have to wait. Either a trade happens in within 4 days after the Miami game here, or it doesn't happen at all. After that, you know, you're resigned to practice squad guys and street free agents, none of which will be big names. Guys like Aaron Stecker. Directing Titan says, at this point, I think almost any trade would be a good move and possibly light a needed spark. I wouldn't go that far. You know, I don't think any trade, just for the sake of making a trade, is necessary. I think if the Packers make a trade, it's for a running back. And should they pull in a Steve Slayton, a Marion Barber, a Tashard Choice, I think all those options are better than Marshawn Lynch. Truth be said, in my opinion. And I would be in favor of that. Uginator says, just an idea, Darren Sproles from San Diego. I think he is their third choice running back, and he's a decent returner. The problem with Darren Sproles is he's about 4'8". I exaggerate here, but he is an okay guy catching the ball out of the backfield, and he's quick, and yes, he could be a decent return person, but he's just not, you know, that type of guy. The Packers need, what the Packers need is a guy like Steve Slayton, Marion Barber, Tashard Choice, a guy who can carry the ball 20 times a game if necessary. And if you got one of those guys, I wouldn't feel bad at all. The Packers wouldn't feeding them that many times. Darren Sproles is your 5-carry-a-game type of guy, who's your third down back maybe. And I don't even know how good Darren Sproles is in pass protection. I can't imagine he provides much of a much value there, even though he could probably catch the ball out of the backfield. So that's, you know, Darren Sproles does good what he does. Good returner, sure, but I just don't think you make the move for a guy like Darren Sproles. John Rahor, going back to the tight end in the Donnelly conversation, says, some tight ends drop TD passes in the end zone. Case in point, Don Lee, it can happen to anyone at any time. Yes, you never know with things like that. Thanks for joining me today, folks. It's getting near the top of the hour at 9 o'clock. Good football weekend. Those of you Wisconsinites, cheer on Wisconsin tomorrow. Thankfully, luckily, I'm going to be at the game as the Badgers host the number one ranked Ohio State Buckeyes. I got to tell you, I've been really disappointed with the Badgers this year. I thought they would be a whole lot better. But all can be forgiven if they beat Ohio State. They beat the number one team in the nation, at least, you know, whoever Associated Press, I think, has them number one. And it'll be a big game, and you never know what home field advantage can do. I think the Badgers were far overrated this year. I think John Clay is too big for his own good. I think Gabe Kurimi is way overrated as a left tackle. But hey, I'm cheering for those guys. Prove me wrong. It'll be so good to see them beat Ohio State, watching Terrell Pryor and Cameron Hayward for the Buckeyes. I just wanted to throw that in. I'm excited for the game. Go Bucky. And even more excited for a Packer game on Sunday. It'll be interesting to see who's out there for the Packers this weekend, whether Clay Matthews will play or not. That one's really up in the air, and probably not, but seeing how the Packers do without him. And the Lambeau Field advantage will certainly help the Packers, and they'll need it this Sunday. Thanks, everyone, once again, for joining me. This is Railbird Central. We're on every Tuesday and Friday morning at 8 o'clock Lambo time. Please feel free to join us again. Join us this Sunday. We'll have our usual live blog during the game at cheeseheadtv.com, and I'll be hosting the postgame show as well. So come on back. Have a good weekend, everybody. Enjoy your Friday, TGIF. Thank goodness it's Finley. Will not happen this weekend, but again, thanks for joining, everyone, and I'll see y'all later.